I'm so glad you're here. Have you ever felt like what you had to offer or what you have that's a gift that you've presented, or maybe your own giftings and talents? Maybe you've gone and done something, maybe you've given a gift. Have you ever felt like that wasn't enough? Have you ever felt insecure in what you've given? That maybe somehow your talents or your giftings actually have fallen short? I know I have, a whole bunch of times. But let me start with this, a story. My dad, he is one of my favorite people. I respect him a lot. He runs a car auction company location. He's the general manager for a car auction where they sell to dealers. And so these dealers from all over Edmonton, that's where he lives, they come and they buy cars from my dad. And he was having a tough time during COVID because there wasn't as many people coming to auctions, and he was having a hard time coming up with business ideas. How do we attract more dealers? How do we get our lanes full? And this guy would come to him week after week and go, bro, you gotta put out bananas. Like, just put a bowl of bananas out and that's it. You'll get dealers flooding this place. All you need is more bananas. And my dad's like, that's not gonna work. That's a stupid idea. But he's nice, he's gracious. He goes, yeah, okay, thank you for your feedback. Thank you, sir. And then the next week, bro, you gotta put bananas out for the car dealers. Over and over again, every single week, this guy would suggest putting out bananas. Finally, my dad kind of broke down and he said, you know what, I'm having a tough time. Why don't we just go get bananas? So he sent one of his other managers, goes to Costco, gets a whole box of bananas, and they put out a bowl, just one bowl. And so the auction comes, and the dealers come out and they go, oh, a banana, and one person takes one. And soon enough, that bowl is gone. So they gotta put out another bowl. And soon enough, that bowl is gone. And soon enough, the whole crate is actually gone. And so what started off as kind of a silly idea in my dad's brain actually became a great business strategy. So if you're wondering how to drum up business, just put out bananas, right? It's not that bananas. There's something inside of us, like this guy, there's something inside of us that is begging to come out. And it might be perceived wrongly by the people in our lives, like my dad perceived this guy's idea wrongly. But there's something inside of us that is built to come out. But we can become insecure because we don't know whose we are. We are trying to figure out who we are without the one who created us. And identity becomes this essential part in the church body, and out of the overflow of who God has made us to be, we actually build his kingdom on earth together. And this is something that's amazing, this is something that's fun, this is something that's great and fulfilling. He actually uses us to accomplish his mission on earth. This is Romans 12:4. It says, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body. There's one body, but we become different, unique parts. And so you might be sitting there going, yeah, I have some giftings. I'm not that special. Maybe you're sitting here in church today and you're like, well, I don't know about this whole ministry thing. Maybe it's not for me. Or maybe you're like one guy that told me, I said, I get up and preach and that's what I'm gifted to do. And he goes, oh, I could never do that. And I go, can you declare the goodness of God? Have you ever told anyone else about Jesus? That's all this is. It's just getting over the fear that when you come up here, you're being judged. And yes, you're judging me, but I'm here to serve you. I'm here to pour out what God has given me to you so that you in turn can go and do what God has called you to do. So you might say, I'm not a pastor. I can't get up on the stage. Maybe, you know, you're like, I can't go stand on a street corner with a megaphone and shout about God. Maybe you're saying, I'm not called to ministry. Let's look at this verse together. This is Exodus 31, 1 through 6. It said, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Look, I have specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He's a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He is skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and in carving wood. He's a master at every craft. And I have personally appointed Oliab, son of Ahimelech, of the tribe of Dan, to be his assistant. Moreover, I have given him special skill to all the gifted craftsmen, so they can make the things that I have commanded you to make.'" When you look at this verse, what jumps out to you? Is it their ability to preach a good sermon? Is it their ability to get up on a stage and talk about God? Is it their ability in any way to proclaim the things of God? I would say yes, but maybe not how you think. Their hands, the gifts of craftsmanship. So what they're doing is they're called by God to use the gifts that they have to do something great to build his kingdom. Every single person, no matter where you have come from, no matter the pain and brokenness that you feel inside right now, has been given a special skill. Maybe your gift is building things with your hands. We see here that the Spirit of God actually comes upon them, is gifting them through his power to make things. And maybe you've never thought that way before, that like I can make a drawer with, or a big chest with a bunch of drawers and it's intricate and I can make that. And maybe you thought, well, that's not as great as coming up here and preaching a sermon. And I'm here to tell you that the scripture literally says otherwise, that the Holy Spirit anoints you to do what you're anointed to do, and it doesn't matter what that is, what the anointing is for, it matters that you're using it. And so I want you to notice that the Holy Spirit gives them skill. He gives them the spiritual ability. God has created you uniquely to do something. And maybe you're sitting there and you go, I don't know, Pastor, I don't know what I'm called to do. Then we pray for more of the Holy Spirit. Because if he's the one that gives us the gifts, if he's the one that gives us special abilities, pray for more of the Holy Spirit. You just can't see it. He's invisible. Pray for more of the Holy Spirit. It's there, I swear. It's just in white. And so, like, when we're in this stage right now, I believe, as a family, where we're going, yes, I believe maybe I'm called to do something now. I see that. But I don't know what I'm called to do. We ask for the one who gives the ability. We ask for the one that empowers us. I'm reminded of the verse that it's neither the one who plants nor the one who waters that makes things grow, but only God makes things grow. He makes things happen. And he does it through his Holy Spirit made manifest in us. And there's this verse, again, I'm reminded of. The Father tells Jesus, and Jesus tells us, that the more that we ask for the Holy Spirit, the more that God will actually give it to us. Because he's a good father, and he gives good gifts to those who ask. So ask for the Holy Spirit, even right now as you're listening to me. Ask for the Holy Spirit to come and give you wisdom. Ask for the Holy Spirit to come and empower you. Again, I want to break this myth that God's kingdom and the way that we build it and the way we interact with the world is only in the gifts that look like the thing that I'm doing right now. Because that's not it. So check this out. Let's go to the New Testament. This is Acts 16, 13 to 15. It says, "On the Sabbath, we went a little way outside the city to a riverbank, where we thought people would be meeting for prayer. And we sat down to speak with some women who had gathered there. One of them was Lydia, Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth who worshiped God. And as she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart and she accepted what Paul was saying. And she and her household were baptized. And she asked us to come and be her guests. If you agree that I'm a true believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my home. And she urged us until we agreed." This is Paul. He's kind of like a giant in the faith. He wrote like most of the New Testament. And he's in this place. He's with people. He's trying to proclaim who God is. And there's this lady who through the power of the Holy Spirit, remember, the Holy Spirit is the one that empowers us, that opens our eyes, that reveals spiritual truth. And the Holy Spirit, in his power, opens her eyes, and she gets baptized. She has a response when God meets with her and when she meets with God. And this is her response: if I am a true believer in the Lord, come and stay at my home. So why mention this at all in this specific context? Because Lydia was two things. One, she was rich. How do I know that? Because she sold expensive purple cloth. Purple cloth was symbolic of royalty. And she would have been selling this to rich people. She would have had a big pocket full of gold. She would have had resources and money and things. She would have probably been of high social standing because of who she associated with. And yet, she meets these lowly men. They would not be dressed well. These lowly men who proclaim that there's something greater out there than riches, than gold, than social status. And her whole entire household come to the Lord. And what is the gift that she brings? Not only money, because we see that later, that she pours into them and funds their ministry, but it's hospitality. She says, come into my home. I want to welcome you. I want to make you feel loved, feel seen, feel known. And we don't think about that. We don't think that the Holy Spirit gives us gifts like hospitality. We don't think that way. Again, there's this myth that says, unless you're doing this, you're not really serving in the kingdom. And that's so wrong. My wife is uniquely gifted in hospitality. We had some people over to our house, and there was a request in a way for a drink. And I was like, you know what? Ask for the drink, because my wife wants to serve you. Because when she serves you, when she's hospitable, she is glorified because of Christ who is in her. And that is what she's gifted to do. It actually builds the kingdom of God on earth when she serves you a drink. And we don't think that way. We think that it's only the showy, only the flashy, only the big crazy things. But can I tell you, there's nothing more full of the Holy Spirit than when you don't honk someone in traffic? The gift of mercy, the gift of hospitality, the gift of peace. That's my wife. And I have more showy gifts. So people sometimes raise me up and say, oh, he's got the anointing and blah. And I'm like, man, I wish I could be more like my wife. I wish I could just serve people with a compassion that is not of my own. Instead, that's something I pray for God to work into me, and God's grateful or gracious with me and gives me these things sometimes. Sometimes I really got to go into prayer to be merciful. Traffic is an enemy of mine. There is something unique inside of each person. Now watch this, church. What you have been given creates a generational impact. Something inside of you is not for you. We've talked about that, but it actually echoes throughout generations. It echoes throughout history. How do I know this? When I was talking about building stuff, when I was talking about being a craftsman, what they were building was the Ark of the Covenant, the literal resting place of God. God literally gave them the ability to create a place where they could come and know him and worship him. And not just a place, a beautiful place fit for the dwelling of a king. And they created this Ark of the Covenant where people would come in and offer sacrifices so they could have a right relationship with him. And then through the years and through the generations, this Ark of the Covenant became a temple. So the Ark went into the temple. And this temple was the meeting place for God. And people would come from far and wide to meet God in this temple. And then Jesus came. And the Holy Spirit came, and what once was a physical place now becomes us. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit. So what started with man ends with God, and he created us as his temple. So the Holy Spirit, through all ages, can live with us right now. How amazing is that? It started with one group of people, And it echoes today, now, that you here sitting in these chairs can have the temple of the Holy Spirit be your body. That's number one. How about Lydia just offering her home? She just gave them what she had. And yeah, it might look like a lot in our eyes, but I want to give you that idea of Jose giving someone a drink, just a drink. There's something special that happens when we build the kingdom of God on earth, because it's not going to just stand for now. The kingdom of God is going to stand forever. Firstly, the generational blessing came through her family. The greatest miracle of all is that we get to have a relationship with Jesus. Because apart from that, we can do nothing. And so her family gets saved. What does that mean? They come back from being dead. They come back to being in a right relationship with God. And it's not just her, it's also her whole family. Generations are going to be saved because of her faithfulness. But not only this, she invites this group led by Paul into her house. And where were they? They were in the city of Philippi. And when we read this Bible, you might not know it, but there's a book called Philippians where Paul planted a church in that very city. And we, in this book, get to read about what Paul is talking about with these people. So don't miss the connection, church. Lydia's hospitality created a way for them to stay in the city, which created a way for them to plant a church, which created a way for them to meet in fellowship with God. And then when Paul's in prison, he writes this letter to the Philippians. And then we get this letter and get to be edified. Today, after all this time, God is still blessing people through the generations with simple obedience when we give of what we have. Do you see it? Are you with me? Now, here's the twist. There's this story that Jesus tells, and Jesus loves to tell parables. These are like little short stories with more than just an immediate meaning. There's a hidden meaning underneath. He's trying to tell you something, but he's using an illustration to prove it. Kind of like when I talked about bananas. And you go, oh yeah, okay, I can understand that. Jesus in the same way teaches that way in the Bible. So he tells this story of servants who were given money. And there was three different servants, and three different amounts of money were given, from quite a lot to kind of in between, and then not so very much. And the master goes away and tells his servants to use what they've had. Two of the servants, the ones with more, go and multiply what they have. They create something out of what they have. And the last servant actually holds on to what he has. And he buries it in the ground because he doesn't want anything bad to happen to it. He just wants to keep it safe and hidden. And then the master comes back. And the master says, well done, to his other servants. But to the one that hid what he had, he actually says, you're a wicked and lazy servant, because what I've given you is not for you, it's for yours to give away, to multiply. And what he's trying to say in this parable is it's the ones who give away to the kingdom what the Father has given will reap the multiplication. Like I was talking about, the generational impact. But the ones who hide what they have away, he actually calls wicked and lazy. It becomes plain old sin. Listen to Romans 12 again. Romans 12 is so special because Paul is talking about the body, which is us. We become the body of Christ. And it says this, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. Don't miss special function. Special function. We are many parts of one body, just a part of one big body, and we all belong to each other. Can you put that verse on the screen, Sam? Belong to each other. I've been meditating on this verse. What does that mean? Because if we are all together here, a family, if we are all together here, the temples of the Holy Spirit, if we have been saved, if we've gone from death to life, then we all belong to each other. And what the more I studied this verse, what it's truly saying is, in the same way that we belong to God, in the same way that a husband belongs to his wife and his wife to him, we belong to each other. And so I say to you in the pew, in the chair today, you belong to each other. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, your spiritual fathers and mothers in Christ, you are called to give yourself away. Why? Because so did Jesus. He died for not just the unity of him and us, God and us, but he died that we would be unified. And he died so that we could belong to each other. So in the context of that parable, when you take something that you know you are to give away, whatever that looks like, because it can be so many different things, and you hold it and you say, this is mine, and you hide it away, what you're doing is you're bringing shame to the body, because the body needs you, your uniqueness. We're called to build his kingdom. I keep on saying this because this is my whole sermon. This is the whole point. He uniquely gifts us to do so and then tells us as the church we belong together. So if we take what we've been given and retreat away from the body and enjoy the fruit of our Savior's sacrifice, it's sin. It's taking something that's good and using it in a way that it was never meant to be used. Here's a quote, so it's not just me saying this. This is from a Theos You devotional on Romans 12. It says, now let's talk about using your gifts. This isn't a side hustle. It's central to living out your faith. Every believer has been given gifts. And those gifts aren't for self-promotion, but for building up others. Whether you're leading, encouraging, serving, teaching, the goal is to contribute to the unity that we're all one and the growth that we grow up in Christ of others. If you're sitting on your hands, you're not just missing out, you're holding back what God has given you for the benefit of others. Now, don't think I'm standing up here all self-righteous, because, oh man, do I fall short of the glory of God. I have been given a gift where I can prophetically say things. What does that mean? What does that look like? God's heart comes through me. Sometimes it's while I'm preaching. Sometimes it's while I'm sitting in a coffee shop. And sometimes he gives me pictures in my mind. Sometimes he gives me a specific word where I know something I shouldn't. And it's scary. I don't love that. Because I'm walking through a grocery store or something, and God will show me a picture of this person being abused when they were a kid. And I go, I don't want to see that, God. But he wants to use that abuse and actually turn it into good. He wants to send me to proclaim the goodness of God to this person. That's what's going on. But in my selfishness, I go, I don't want to put myself out there. I don't want to be rejected. I don't know what this person's going to say. I don't know what's going to happen. It's awkward. Here, you know, it's a little more scripted. I have notes to go off of. It's more comfortable for me. And I had to give that up. And I had to say, God, if you're calling me to give words to people, if you're calling me to speak truth to other people, then I am called as your servant to obey. I'm not called to question. I'm not called to be selfish. I'm called to be generous and kind in the same way that you are generous and kind. So today I'm trying. I give words to people. Sometimes it's in the public, in the coffee shop that I meet at. Sometimes it's just random people at random times because I don't control it. God just gives me things or he doesn't. And I try to be faithful and obey what he's called to me. But still, it's a work in process. So if you're here and you know you're called to do something, know that God has compassion for you. He's God with us. He walks with you. And together, you and him work out what you're called to do so that other people can know the goodness of God, so they too can experience salvation. James says, if we know what we should do and do not do it, it is sin. It's not just the, oh, I know I should do this, but it's actually a full turning. It's repentance. It's saying I was going one way and I'm choosing to actually go the different way. And every time, what happens when we sin is we walk farther away from God, and he never changes, and he'll keep calling us back, but repentance is I'm going to turn from the way that I was going and come back to the relationship that I know will fill me up fully. So as you're sitting there, know that God is with you, God is for you, God has gifted you, and God wants to do things through you, but he's so patient with you. You who are sitting there with many gifts, you who are sitting there that are new to all this, you that are sitting there that have been doing this for many, many years, he's patient with you like he's patient with me. And let me say this, let me help. One of the gifts that I've been given is to help people find out who they are, to help them identify with the one that has created them. And it's a lot like going up a mountain or on a great journey. It's hard work, but it's worth it because you get to see that mountain. So let me help because it's what I'm made to do. When you ask me a theology question, you say, I don't understand what baptism means, Danny. It's my joy to answer you. It's how I was made to serve. When you come to me and say, I don't know how I'm gifted and qualified. I don't know what's going on, Pastor. Let me pray for you. It's my joy to do so. It's how I serve you. When I get up here and proclaim the word, it's my joy. It's what I'm created to do. It's how I'm called to serve. These are my gifts. And yes, I get this mic. Yes, I get this stage. But don't think it doesn't come with a cost. I have to humble myself every time before I come up here so that I know that it's not me coming up here, but it's God coming up here through me speaking to you. And I have to level myself, humble myself, and get my wife to lift me up. She prays for me every time that I preach. And I kneel down before the cross and I say, I cannot go up on that stage unless you are with me, God. So as you're going, let me help you. And it'll probably be hard. It'll probably hurt. It'll probably require humility. And it'll probably require obedience. And let me apologize on behalf of the church. It doesn't matter whether we're a big church or a small church. Our job as pastors is to equip you, the saints, to do the work of the ministry. And then to do the ministry alongside of you in an individual capacity. But our pastor is called to equip the people to go and do what only they can do and that I cannot. And we have been historically poor at doing this overall since I got here. So let me apologize. But I'm working so hard to make sure that I do what I'm created to do, and that we do what we were called to do, build you up for the sake of the kingdom. So we have this program. Let me sow some seeds. Let me help you understand what I've been working so hard on, that what me and David are trying to build here. It's welcome to the family, because we want to be a family. We want to be a real family. This course is not meant to be just a welcome to who we are, welcome to what I want you to do. This course is created specifically and uniquely for one specific purpose, to help you identify where you're called and serve. That's it. Taking that step of obedience, saying, I think I'm actually qualified, called, drawn to do this thing. And then help, I get to help you step into whatever that looks like. That's welcome to the family. We're going to run that in September. We have a new believers course that I'm working on right now. Right now. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? What is baptism? How do I pray? What does it look like to read my Bible? What translation do I use? I don't know. I have a bunch of questions. That's new believers. I love to answer those questions. So I get to make this little course to help you guys understand not just who you are, but whose you are. That's new believers. We have Upper Room coming back in the fall too. Upper Room is a space where you can experience God and the presence of the Holy Spirit. It looks a lot like worship. There's a little teaching sometimes, but mostly it's a place for you to encounter him. Because I don't want you to just know who he is, though that's very important. I want you to spend time with him. I don't want you to get so lost in the task that you forget why you're doing it. So that's new, that's Upper Room, this place where you can meet with God wholly and totally and individually. I'm working on a church-wide Bible study so that you guys can not just encounter him, but you can know who he is. Because when we know about someone, it helps us go deeper in relationship with them. And so I'm working on what that looks like, how to do that, how we can go deeper in our knowledge of Christ. Our prayer night is every Thursday. We bring you into the presence of God as best as we can. We bring our needs before each other and before the throne, and we lift up our community every single Thursday at 6:30 because we believe that prayer is important. Every single week we do it. It's all to equip you. Yes, we may be small. Yes, we may live in a small city. But what little we have, God can use for such a great impact. So we're going to have these programs. And right now, we have holes in our church. We're not great in number, but we're not few because we've been given all that we need. But we have these holes, and we need people to help with these holes. We have ministries that don't exist yet here. We have people that haven't been saved yet because we haven't gotten you equipped to run the ministry, to do what you were created to do. So as I say all these things, what are you called to give? What's inside of you? And I'm not talking just about money. I'm talking about the gifts and talents, the wisdom. What's the desire of your heart? What's the passion that God has put in you? And yes, we need children's ministry workers. Yes, we need sound guys. Yes, we need prayer people. Yes, we need people to put on coffee in the morning. Yes, we need all these things. But I do not want to plug an organizational hole for the sake of plugging an organizational hole. I want to help you discern your calling. And then I want to prepare you and equip you to flourish in it. So today, I hope you've heard from God. So today, I hope you've been encouraged. So today, I hope you know that God is equipping you even right now as you're sitting and listening to me. We're going to have two responses because I want you to do something with this word. Either go out just right out by that door where that exit sign is. There's a little iPad out there. It just says, I want to join these programs. I want to serve in this way. Whatever that looks like. Your name, your phone number. I don't even think I put your phone number on there. Your email just so I can contact you. Tell me what I can do to help you, how I can equip you for ministry. Lena's also going to be running around with the iPad. She's in the back. She's ready to meet with you and help you discern your calling just like I am. But maybe you're not quite there yet. Maybe you're just at the beginning. Maybe you don't understand even most of what I've said. That's great. I'd love to help you and walk you through that journey. So they're going to pop some music on at the end of all this. And I'm just going to make myself available if you just want me to pray for you. Whatever that looks like, however that looks like, let me serve you. It would be my pleasure. So with all that, I'm going to pray. I want to bless you. I want to give you the same authority that I've been given to preach the word. And then I dismiss you and I bless you to go. Why don't you pray with me together? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Savior. Thank you, King above all kings, that you have created us in such a unique way that before we were even a twinkle in our Father's eye, you were shaping our destiny. You were preparing good works for us to do. Thank you that you made us. It says you knit us together in our mother's womb. And then as we came out, you walked with us, you talked with us, you helped us to grow. You put other people in our paths that help us to discern what you've asked us to do. Who are we, Holy Spirit? I ask that you would reveal that right now. Who are we? Because we know whose we are. We are yours, Lord. But who are we created to be? And where are we called to serve? I'm not even talking about here. I'm talking about out there. I'm talking about wherever you have called us. Help us, Holy Spirit. You are the one that makes things grow. You are the ones that equips and empowers us to do what you've called us and asked us to do. And then gift us together the gift of unity, that we can belong to one another, so that we can serve one another, so that we can actually be a real family like we want to be. Not just one that sits, but one that serves. Not just one that hears, but one that comes up to pray for me as I go to speak to kids halfway across, all the way across the country. Thank you that you just call us to amazing things. And thank you that it's not up to us to do these amazing things, but it's just our ability to lay them down at your feet and say, I'm willing to do whatever you want, God. I'm your faithful servant, so send me. Would you draw that up in us? I bless my people. I ask that you would anoint them right now with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit so they can be equipped to do good works for the ministry. I ask that you would not just help them identify these things, but that you would actually empower them, that even right now you'd bring up gifts, spiritual gifts, whether that's hospitality or craftsmanship or prophetic ability or the gift of tongues or the gift to teach or the gift to serve or whatever gift you want to give to them. I pray in Jesus' name that they would receive it, that it would be done. I pray also that no power or principality of the kingdom of darkness would come and try and pervert what has been said, but instead, would you seal it in us? Would you help us to know that you love us, that you walk with us, and you call us to do great things, greater things than you even did, Jesus, you said. Help us to do those things in your power for others, for the beauty and glory of your kingdom, O God. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, and all those who agreed said, amen. Amen. Bless you, church. Bless you, church.